And here we are into the second hour. Thanks for sticking with us here, folks, on Truth Hurts Radio. I'm your host, Charlie Giuliani. And for this second hour, we're going to have Josh Wolf. Actually introduced him as a G8 protester, but that's not necessarily what he was doing there, although he is against the G8. But he was simply there minding his business, basically, taking pictures. Are you there with us, Josh? Okay, I guess we don't have him as yet. Okay, he is there.
I'm here.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I forget now. When was this protest? Was it last year? Or?
It's getting close to 2 years ago. It was actually on July 8th of 2005.
Okay, and so basically you were just there pretty much minding your business. Just happened to be, you were just taking pictures.
Well, I was there to document the protest. It wasn't just happening to cross through there and film it. I went out to document a protest that I knew that the mainstream media wasn't going to cover.
Right, yeah, they never do they? And so, yeah, but just in a nutshell, fill us in what happened, how it came that you came about that you actually got arrested and got harassed.
Well, basically, I filmed the protest. It started off as a pretty minor demonstration, about 160 people who loosely identified as anarchists for the most part, demonstrating against the G8 summit that was going on in Gleneagles, Scotland at the time. At some point, the tactical police squad, you know, the riot squad, if you will, they stood down, and somehow a patrol car that just was responding to an incident came onto the scene, and in an effort to disperse the crowd, decided to accelerate at significant speeds towards the crowd. This resulted in a couple of people jumping for their lives who had been carrying a large styrofoam sign. At the point that the police saw the styrofoam sign fall in front of their car as two people fled, they immediately jumped out and gave chase. Now, I followed one of the police officers who was in the passenger seat, and by the time I came up on him, he was choking an individual named Gabe Myers. And in court testimony, he actually stated that he was trying to cut the blood flow to Gabe's brain in order to knock him unconscious. From what I saw, there was no real resistance going on from Gabe. And simultaneously, the other police officer that was in the car had given chase to another individual, and according to the police report, he was striking him with a baton, at which point some sort of an altercation occurred, and he himself received a blow to the head, which unfortunately resulted in a fractured skull. So it was quite a serious injury, but of course I was nowhere near that side of it, and I just happened to witness the police officer choking Gabriel Myers.
So these people were peacefully demonstrating, just holding signs. They weren't doing anything. You're saying that the police, which seems to be the normal operational procedure these days, they themselves went in and instigated an incident.
They certainly instigated all violence. I can't say that the protesters were simply holding signs. As a journalist, I must point out that there was some minor property damage, some spray painting on billboards, some dragging newspaper stands into the street, but certainly no, you know, violence towards human beings or even much in the way of property destruction. It was fairly mild, and the officers that responded were not even the ones assigned to the protest.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, go ahead. So you were there filming.
Yeah, I filmed the protest. At some point while I was leaving the protest, was told by some sort of a Treasury Department, is what I've learned, federal agent, leave or you're going to be blasted, I'm a Fed, with a couple expletives thrown in for color, as he pointed an assault rifle into the crowd, which was clearly overkill amongst a bunch of young people walking around, not really quite sure what was going on. And 2 days later, the FBI shows up in my house, demanding that I turn over my unedited material, asking what happened.
Well, I tell you what, hold that thought. We got to go for break, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
K
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold and the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
All right, we're back on True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got our guest, Josh Wolf. So before the break, Josh, you were telling us the FBI, 2 days later, decided to come to your door and demand your pictures.
Yeah, the FBI shows up at my house, and I don't even realize it's the feds at first. And eventually I'm talking to them, and they're like, we really want to know who injured this police officer. And obviously, you know, anyone who's injured is a sensitive situation that, you know, it's important that if it truly was an unprovoked attack, that something happened in that regard. But I knew I had nothing there. So I offered to the FBI, if you give me a signed affidavit, that you'll only use this material for the purposes of investigating who was involved in this altercation with the police officer, then I'll go ahead and give you my footage. And they refused. To which I refused to give them my footage. And I thought that was going to be the end of it, but then 6 months later I received a subpoena for the federal grand jury demanding not only the complete footage, but also my testimony before the secret grand jury.
Jeez, unbelievable. Now, did you say, didn't they want you to cooperate and hand over names or something, too, of some of the people that were involved?
Well, at the point that they first showed up, it was simply a matter of the tape, but when the subpoena for the grand jury came, it came out throughout the various, well, first you file a motion to quash, and then you have a hearing around that to try to dismiss the subpoena, get rid of the subpoena. And during that time period, they basically stated, we're seeking Josh Wolf's testimony for the purposes of identifying potential witnesses Not potential suspects, mind you, but potential witnesses. So basically, what was going on is they wanted me to name the names of everyone that I knew on the tape. Then they'd call everyone that I identified, make them watch the tape, and name everyone that they knew, until they had built a database of everyone associated with civil dissent in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're after. So they never actually did, quote, arrest you, though, huh? The police or the FBI or...
Well, I don't know whether it's considered an arrest at the point that during the hearing for contempt, they said the Honorable William also ruled that I was in civil contempt and called the marshals in to put handcuffs on me, and at which point I was escorted to the Federal Detention Center in Dublin, where I spent a total of 7.5 months. So I guess at that point... It was an arrest, not a typical street arrest, though.
Read your rights, or...?
They never read me any rights at the point that I was taken into custody now.
Now, isn't that interesting, folks? What kind of an arrest is that? 7 months, you said?
226 days, so about 7.5 months.
Unbelievable. Never read his rights. That's not an arrest. That's an illegal detention.
Well, of course it's an illegal detention. I'm not even sure that the idea that we should have coercive custody, which is what I was under, is even appropriate in a free society. I mean, we have the First Amendment, which gives us the right of freedom of speech.
I mean, they didn't even...
speech give us the right to stay silent.
Yeah, and what exactly was the charge that they were holding you for? Well, since it wasn't...
Refusing to cooperate.
Refusing, yeah, yeah. And since when are you required to hand over, you yourself were not breaking any law, you were not under any obligation, it's not like you were an accessory to a murder or something, that you were withholding evidence in a murder trial.
Right, I had no evidence about what they were investigating in the first place. I filed declarations to that effect. I even offered to allow the judge to privately screen the material to verify that everything I said was factual and that I didn't capture this incident. And the U.S. attorney objected to that, saying it's not the place of the judge to decide what's evidence. It's the place of the prosecution.
Yeah, so clearly what they were after, all they were after here was, like you said, a list of names. That's all it was. You know, this is very similar. I mentioned this on the phone to you. I guess this was back when you were kind of young. Don't remember this. But very similar to what they did to this man in Idaho, Ruby Ridge. His name was Randy Weaver. He, too, was harassed by the feds. There was a white supremacist group that lived near him, and they wanted him to, to give them information, maybe to infiltrate it and pass on to them what they were talking about at their meetings. And he said, look, I'm not going to do that. These people are my neighbors. You know, I don't approve of what they're doing, but I don't want to be their enemies. You know, I want to live in peace with them. I get along with them. I want to keep it that way. Anyway, that wasn't good enough for them. So they decided to harass the guy. They sent a Fed up to his house in, disguised in normal garb. And he tried to get Randy Weaver to saw off a shotgun. They heard that he had done this on the side for, friends and locals. And he refused to do it. The guy kept harassing him and pressuring him. Oh, come on, just this one time. I'll pay you, Finally, that was his big mistake. Weaver agreed. He sawed off the shotgun, and that's it. That, from there, they gave him a court summons, and they gave him the wrong date on the court summons. And when he didn't show up on the date that, they said he was supposed to, he didn't know because it was the wrong date on the summons. But anyway, when he didn't show up, that was it. They basically surrounded his house. They shot his 15-year-old son in the back. His wife wound up several days later. They shot her in the face. She came out on the porch calling out to her husband, who had gotten up in the wee hours of the morning to get some food out of the shed. She called out to him, and suddenly a shot rings out from one of the snipers and shoots her in the face. She fell dead right there on the porch, holding her baby, 10-month-old baby, in her arms. So I guess you should be glad they didn't pull stuff like this on you.
I mean, certainly, it also reminds me of the situation with Brad Will, who was the independent journalist who was shot in Mexico while covering the Oaxaca demonstrations. I mean, the governments in general will approach things without thought to the human element. They go, they have a target, they'll go after the target, and everything that gets in between that should trigger those alarms in you or me just gets put, filed aside as part of the bureaucracy, as part of collateral damage, if you will.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with Luke Rutkowski. He's quite an activist in New York. He bears a camera. He goes around and films a lot of... They're into, you know, the 9/11 truth movement. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he goes around filming
absolutely.
A lot of... Yeah, he goes around filming a lot of their demonstrations, and he's had some run-ins with some thugs, some federal thugs, boy. He was out in front of the New World Trade Center 7 building where Larry Silverstein has his office, and this thug who identified himself as a police officer, I think he's probably more a Secret Service or something. Anyway, he's out there in his three-piece suit, and he's harassing Luke. Luke is on neutral turf. It's public turf. He's out on the street with his camera. And this guy's telling him, you know, shut your camera off. And he says, sir, I'm not violating any law here. I have every right to be here and to film. I'm on public property. He says, I don't care. I want you to shut it off. Again, he kept asserting his rights. So finally the cop says, what's that hanging out of that camera, boy, or that bag? He says, is that a wire? That must be a bomb. I think you're a terrorist. He called the police on him. Police came and took him away.
Yeah, I actually was hearing about that from another journalist, Flux Rostrum, who covers the 9/11 truth movement out in New York. So I actually just heard that story a few days ago when Flux actually had the police break his camera because he filmed them during a demonstration, handcuff a guy to a wall, and pull out a nightstick after they handcuffed the guy to the wall.
Unbelievable.
As if they were going to do some sort of, like, beating him up, chained to the fence. It was quite a story. I mean, the government has an attack on information. I mean, we've seen journalists be subpoenaed for grand juries, from Judith Miller to Rick Scarce. Anytime news goes out that they don't want you to know, they're after you. Michael Moore was recently investigated for his trip to Cuba for his recent film.
I didn't know that. You're kidding.
Yeah,
what'd they do to him?
Well, Homeland Security has said that it's a violation to go to Cuba without getting proper clearance. Apparently, as part of his film about the healthcare system, he decided to visit Cuba with some various 9/11 victims to explain, to show how the Cuban medical system will take care of you when the U.S. system will not. And because the government doesn't want that to get out there, they've put pressure on him and threatened him with fines and time in jail simply because they didn't want the information to get out. There really is a war on information at this point in time.
Boy, it sounds just like good old America, huh, folks? I don't know if you know this, but the French now have banned people from using cameras and filming police arrests, because obviously there's a lot of police brutality there as well. And it's illegal to the point now where you can be arrested if you're caught filming a police treatment of suspects that they arrest.
And they've got a new president in France, and I'm sure it's only going to get worse and not better.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is not just in America, folks. This is something that's going on around the globe. It's total power, taking away the rights of the people. They want to shut you up. You're criminals in their eyes just for simply having a camera handy and catching them in their criminal activities. I mean, will the real criminals please stand up here?
Exactly.
You know, and this is a precedent that has been set, actually, you know, quite a while back, even before this administration. It seems to have whipped into higher gear now. But back in 99, there was a similar protest to the one you went to in San Francisco there. This was in protest to the World Trade Organization, which is really a sister to the G8. Tell you what, folks, stick with us. When I come back, we'll talk some more about that with our guest, Joshua Wolf.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have Joshua Wolf on as our guest. Before I go back to him, just a reminder, we're still conducting our pledge drive here at RBN, folks. If you would be so kind as to call in or write in with a contribution to help keep this station going, keep these great shows on the air, you can dial in at 800-724-2719. Again, 800-724-2719, or you can write in at the RBN office, 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's RBN office, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The call-in number, anybody wants to call in and give comments or questions for our guest, you can do so by dialing toll-free 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. I just wanted to finish up this Seattle story. What happened there, very similar to what you experienced in San Francisco. Here were these peaceful protesters. Now, these people weren't doing anything except holding up signs. They had no spray cans, nothing. Just holding up signs, trying to create an awareness of the World Trade Organization and how it's raping and pillaging economies around the world and all in the interest of big business. And all of a sudden, they got infiltrated. This was covered by the local press there in Seattle. It never made the national news, of course. But these peaceful protesters got infiltrated by this black ski mask group of people called the Black Bloc Group. And, they were smashing with batons. They were smashing storefront windows, car windshields, and The police later admitted, the local Seattle police admitted, that they were told by the feds not to respond to any of the phone calls, to stand down. They were to not break ranks around the hotel area where the guests were staying for the WTO meetings. It wasn't until the next day that they were allowed to go and respond to these callers. And what they did was they arrested hundreds of the legitimate protesters, threw them in Sandpoint Brig, which is a local FEMA holding station. It's a concentration camp is what it is. Several hundred of them were held there for about 100 days. And again, you know, they weren't charged with anything. They didn't do anything. Like you, you know, they were just thrown in there. It was kind of just to send them a message, you know, don't do this again. And they blamed them for the damage that was done the previous day, just to discredit them and make their message look, you know, like off the wall so people wouldn't listen to them. So, you know,
instead of looking at the isolated people and saying, you know, we've got a diversity of groups here with a diversity of tactics, both the mainstream media as well as the government likes to say that if you have one isolated act of violence, it represents the entire group. And in doing so, it creates this sort of ridiculous situation where if you have a rock concert and there's a fight, you don't say that the entire attendance of the rock concert were violent, you know, hooligans. You say there was a fight. If there's a protest and there's one altercation between police and a protester, suddenly you say violent protesters. You don't say in one isolated instance.
Right. Yeah, it's just pure mind-warping propaganda is all it is. They're squelching freedom of speech, and they're operating totally and only on behalf of big money interests, and with no regard whatsoever to the interests of the general public, to their future economic status. I mean, this is just disgusting, folks. You're living in a fascist state is what it is. I mean, what other word can you put to this?
Well, and then the grand jury itself. Like, I don't know how many of your listeners are aware of what it's like to go into a grand jury, but it's almost like a military tribunal. You can't bring in your attorney. There's no judge. It's just you, the witness, the jury, which is nothing more than a puppet of the U.S. attorney, and someone keeping the secret transcripts. You can't plead the Fifth Amendment, because if you plead the Fifth Amendment, they'll just grant you a waiver saying that you have immunity, limited immunity, which just makes the Fifth Amendment disappear. So it's this really weird situation where we have secret courts that'll force people to testify. If you don't testify, whether it's because you don't know anything or you don't feel it's your place to testify, then they'll send you to jail until either the grand jury expires, the U.S. attorney gives up, or they manage to break you down. And that's how our government functions right now.
Kangaroo courts. It's all a rigged game. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jerry Spence. He's a defense attorney that specializes in defending the underdog against big government, big business. Very often he doesn't even charge his clients. And, you know, he's made that statement over and over in his books, particularly, I'm trying to think of the name of the last one that he wrote. But anyway, you know, he's had years and years of experience at this, and he says over and over again, he sees this happening, you know, with the some of the cases he's worked on, you know, the judges have actually said it's a sad day in American history when you can't even get fellow federal institutions like the FBI to comply with a federal court order. You know, over and over, they lie, they forge evidence, they withhold evidence. And the judge essentially can't do anything. I mean, he can tell them, you know, that you're obliged by law to comply with my decisions, but if they don't follow through, what can he do? And this is what's happening. People don't realize what we're dealing with here. It's criminals running our country, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, Truth Hurts. Got about another half hour left with our guest here. Joshua Wolf was present at a G8 protest and got arrested simply for having taken pictures there on the scene. The FBI wanted his pictures and were harassing him. Anybody wants to call in and join us here, you can dial in at 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. So, Josh, obviously nothing is on your record from this, right? I mean, they just held you there for about two-thirds of a year, and then, I mean, why did they finally let you go? They realized you weren't going to break? They just gave up?
Well, there's the two things they wanted. They wanted the footage, which had nothing on it particularly, and they wanted my testimony. And I was technically thrown in contempt for the footage because they never even got to the testimony. Well, after we lost the appeal in the Ninth Circuit, my attorney approached the U.S. attorney and said, how about we, you know, provide you a copy of the tape and publish it so the world can see that there's nothing on it, and you let my client out of jail. And the U.S. attorney said, no, we'll only accept full compliance with the subpoena. We want his testimony. We need him to testify before the secret grand jury. And clearly that wasn't going to happen, so we just stayed in. And then we filed a grumbles motion, which is like saying, look, I'm never going to give in. You need to give up. Let me out of jail. And urging the judge to release me. And during that motion, the U.S. attorney actually argued that because we approached him about the tape, that that showed that the coercion, that the time I was spending in jail was having a coercive effect. Well, the judge ruled that I was going to stay in jail, and then a couple months later, actually on Valentine's Day, the judge ordered the case into mediation. During mediation, we were able to come up with a resolution that allowed me to publish the video, at which point I gave it over to the U.S. attorney, and I also agreed to submit a declaration stating that I had no knowledge around who was involved in the altercation with the police officer, or actually, more specifically, who Officer Shields was chasing, the officer that was injured, and nor did I witness the quote-unquote attempted arson of the police vehicle, which we haven't actually discussed, but was nothing more than someone 4 days after the 4th of July throwing a firework that they probably legally bought just a few miles up the street from San Francisco.
My, my, my. So as it stands now, is, you know, is it still pending? Have they dropped it? Has this actually cost you any money, too? I mean, obviously, you've been out of work that whole time, but...
Right, yeah, I wasn't at work. I was paying rent on my apartment because any one of your listeners in the San Francisco area knows it's pretty difficult to find a good apartment in San Francisco that you can afford with rent control. It's more affordable to hold on to something like that. So I was able to raise enough money to cover my rent and that sort of thing while I was incarcerated, able to raise any money that I needed for legal fees. And actually, most of my attorneys helped on a pro bono basis, which was really great. I had the First Amendment Project working on the case, as well as Martin Garbus out of New York. So I had this stellar legal team. But so, no, I didn't lose any money. I'm back to work. I'll be heading into work as soon as I finish up this interview. And they have the option to re-subpoena me. They left it open that if they decide they want to try to throw me back in jail to get me to testify again, they have that option available. I don't think they're going to take it, but
no,
that option...
You'll probably never hear from them again. They'll just leave you hanging. They like to play these little mind games. You know, they'll leave it open. And if they see you doing something else they don't like, maybe then they'll come after you and hit you with a double whammy. Have you still been active going to the protests, or has this dissuaded you at all? I hope not.
It certainly hasn't dissuaded me from filming any protests. I've been traveling a bunch since I got out. I was just on the East Coast. I haven't had an opportunity to film any protests in San Francisco. I tried to go out and film the 9/11 Truth Movement's demonstration on May 11th, but we somehow just missed them as we were walking around Manhattan. So I haven't had an opportunity to film any protests for my website since being released from prison, but that certainly doesn't mean that I will not be filming protests in the future.
You should hook up with Luke Rakowski there.
Yeah, there's a quite a growing network of people that are out there to demonstrate or to film these demonstrations, because the corporate media will continue to ignore the people's real issues, because supposedly the media serves the public and the journalists really do try to serve the public, but when it comes down to it, the business is dictated by the bottom line and making money. And the investors don't particularly want to know what people are upset about.
Yeah, they're only allowed to go so far. And as a matter of fact, they're not allowed at all to touch anything that involves the federal government or the big Fortune 500 companies. That's where the line gets crossed. You know, they can expose local governments, local corruption in small businesses. You start going up the ladder, though, and that's it. You find out very quick that there's no room for that.
Exactly.
Very good book was written back in 2002. It's still current, as you know, as far as the message in it. Some of the stories are old now, but very good reading. It's written by, about a half a dozen authors who had formerly worked for major media outlets like, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. And what they did is they told their personal stories of how, you know, they saw this in action. They call it the buzzsaw, how if you're working on a story involving exposing corruption in big business or big government, your story goes into the buzzsaw. They just chop it up and you know, it's never heard about again. And you yourself will go through the buzzsaw. They'll fire you. They'll demonize you. You'll never get a job in journalism again. So, you know, all of these people, they got so disgusted, they all left their mainstream media jobs to go freelance. because they realize that there's no room for exposing high-level corruption anymore. It's not allowed. You know, you get your car broken into, they'll steal your notebook, your computer, your fax. You know, they'll come into your home, and they'll leave no sign of entry except that they'll take, you know, your notes. That's it. It's just pure harassment. The editor of the book, Borgeson, her name was, her last name, she described how they would call her in the middle of the night sometimes and just threatening her, you know, drop this story, don't go any one step further. And then she would see these unmarked cars, obviously federal thugs, guys with, you know, shades on, that would pull up in front of her house and just sit there by the hour across the street staring at her just to intimidate her, you know. Several of the other authors, too, describe similar things. And she says, you try to describe this to people and they'll call you crazy, paranoid, conspiracy nuts. It's not until you actually go through something like this that you realize just how real this is and how scary it is. She says, it's very frightening. You know,
that's the entire effect. I mean, our entire governmental system, our entire culture is one based on fear. We live in the suburbs where we drive our cars to work and then into the garage so that we don't see the people. And that just that lifestyle alone indoctrinates this fear that everyone out there is out to get you. And that's the government, the culture, it all builds towards this idea, because if you're afraid, then you won't question and you won't do what you know is right, because you'll act from a different perspective. You'll act from fear. And if you're covering these stories that are exposing corruption, they're able to successfully trigger that fear response. If you have kids, if you've got a wife and you're concerned about that, then you're going to not cover those stories. And the government will stop at nothing to ensure that the message that they want to get out is the message that gets out.
Isn't it astonishing? We pay their checks, you know. They're mooching off of us. We're the ones that pay their salaries. And yet they're using their power that their position has, you know, that we've afforded them in that position, voted them in. They use that position to operate counter to our interests. It's just incredible. They're criminalizing people who are abiding by the law, and all the while they're the ones that are not abiding by the law. This is the ultimate irony. The ones who are at the top rungs of the ladder in law enforcement of the biggest violators of the law. And we're not saying all CIA and FBI and other law enforcement agencies, we're not saying everybody in them is corrupt. As a matter of fact, it's a small minority. It just happens that that minority is at the top. They're calling all the shots. All the little guys at the bottom, most of which are very sincere and honest people, have no idea the kind of system that they're working for. It's, you know, they might be sincere, and they want that too. They want most of the workers, most of the FBI agents, to be honest, upstanding citizens. It's good PR for them.
Right,
but
of course.
But when they engage in activities like what you experienced, they know who to call upon. They know who the thugs are that are going to do what they're told and engage in these mafioso intimidation games. And so that's what you were dealing with, you know, agents that aren't honest, agents that don't give a rip about the Constitution, about freedom. They're just there to do it, whatever they're told to do.
Well, I suspect that even the agents that were involved in my case directly were probably had a benevolent interest in the case. You know, they're told by their supervisors, here's this journalist that has this important footage about this police officer being attacked. And clearly they're like, well, that needs to be out there, despite the fact that that footage didn't exist, and we offered to screen it to the judge. But in order to move that power, to say that it's the place of a judge to decide what's evidence, as opposed to the U.S. attorney or the government just being able to have their hands on anything they want, is yielding power. And one of the historical lessons that we should have all learned by now is that those in power will do anything they can to not surrender any amount of that power. And in fact, they'll generally do whatever they can to gain more power.
You know, you can really see them. Oh, go ahead.
And so I think that's what we see, is that a lot of times the interests are benevolent, but it's the power that corrupts and fuels this desire. I mean, the same thing we see with Hillary Clinton running for president and saying that she felt that George Bush should have had that power to do whatever he wanted around the war. because she wants that power. I mean, we have a situation where they all say, like, they did the wrong thing, but they should have that power because I want that power.
Yeah. You can really picture them, you know, behind the scenes planning ahead of time. All right, if he says this, we'll come back with this. You know, they're memorizing their script so they know how to divert everything and make it look legitimate on the surface so they can get the jurors to think that, you know, this, they get a real case against you and you're not being cooperative. It's a game of words. It's mind games, word games.
It is.
Just making it up as they go along and handing out the scripts. Make sure you got your lines memorized. You know, if you should say this, respond with that. And there's only a semblance of legitimacy, folks. But there's nothing here to do with law, with justice. And we're seeing far too much of this going on today. You know, we're at a point where there's just no hint of honesty or integrity or any kind of scruples here at all at the highest levels. Again, they know that most Americans do have scruples, and so they play on that to deceive them into thinking that they're running a scrupulous operation here. But again, upon close inspection, it's just one big ugly mess. So how about your friends now that were involved in the protests? Are you still in touch with any of them, or did you get the feeling that your phone's being tapped, that they're trying to get information of, you know, who your contacts are, who you're calling, who's calling you?
By the time that I was subpoenaed, I made it a practice not to reach out to people that are actively engaged in more underground level of protesting via phone or email, for the reason that basically there's no reason to put people who I'm covering in my stories in danger any more than is absolutely necessary.
Right.
The biggest effect that this seems to have had on those, the various anarchists in the Bay Area, is that they seem to be less prone to go out and demonstrate in light of me being imprisoned. The chilling effect that we said, if you throw me in jail, it'll have a chilling effect on civil dissent and journalists, has come to fruition. And that is probably even almost as important as anything that the government was going after. I mean, they call it the Justice Department, but they're not really seeking justice. They're seeking to implant the culture, the system that they feel is most appropriate for their means. And it really is a system that looks something like a cross between Brave New World and 1984. It really is.
Yeah, we're in that age. I mean, everything you do, everywhere you go, you're being watched, you're being listened to. The Brits got it even worse over there. Yeah, there's microphones everywhere. You got the cameras now, so they're listening and watching. And you feel like you're a criminal when you're minding your own business. And, you know, they can take that footage and twist it in such a way that, you know, it makes it look like you're doing something you weren't. Oh, for that matter, nowadays with the technology they got, they don't even need to have footage of you doing anything wrong. They can manipulate the footage. I mean, I don't even see how they can submit camera footage or recordings of people anymore, because it's so easy to doctor these things. I mean, we know they did that with a lot of the 9/11 tapes.
Well, and in cases where you're tried, they don't even need footage. All they need is two people that they convince to testify against you, and that's enough for you to take any deal that they'll throw at you, because we don't have due process in this country, at least in the federal system. If you haven't done the crime that you're charged with, you're looking at, okay, you can plead guilty and take a year, or you can take it to trial, lose because the cards are all stacked against you, and get 20 years. So what are you going to do? Are you a betting man? Are you going to bet against 20 years in jail, or are you going to take the one?
Yeah, it's again, it's to use the medieval analogy, we've gone back to that again, where, yeah, they can bribe people, coerce people, threaten people, or just get some thug off the street. Hey, here's $50. Testify against this guy. This is what we want you to say. Memorize your script. We got a caller, John from Oregon. John, you with us?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. Question for your guest. I know a lot of people around the country see these protests on TV. I personally, I live out here in Eugene, Oregon, so I'm quite familiar with protests and being part of them. But a lot of you people in, say, the Midwest and the South and even the Southeast, they really don't understand what these protests are about and how they even affect them as, say, Bible Belt or middle American citizens. How do you think we can show these people how that the protests that are taking place on some of these West Coast cities are extremely important to the people that live in the Midwest? Any suggestions?
I'm not sure how best to show it to them, but the simple explanation to them, especially when it comes to anti-globalization protests, are, do you know someone that's lost their job because a company went overseas? And 9 times out of 10, someone has if they haven't themselves. And that's one of the things that people are protesting against the globalization movement is about.
Right, and there's been multiplied millions of people like that, especially into this administration. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back here on True Threats.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hey, welcome back to our final segment here. We've got about 5 more minutes with our guest, Josh Wolf. In a minute, Josh, I want to have you plug, if you've got a website or something, where people can go and maybe give you some help with future work that you might want to do if the federal thugs haven't frightened you away from that. I know you mentioned you did want to get involved with other filming in the future. But did you have anything more to say? John, are you still with us in Oregon? I think he... Okay, I guess he dropped off. But you were finishing answering his question, talking about the mass hemorrhage of jobs.
Well, he was asking how to show the relevance to people in the Midwest, and I think just pointing out the job issue is probably the simplest, most appropriate way to point out that, like, look, we're an injustice to one, it is an injustice to all. It rings a lot more relevant than to look at the destruction of indigenous communities and that sort of thing, although both are quite disastrous, both here at home and abroad.
Yeah, people need to recognize the symptoms I think they see the symptoms, but they don't recognize the problem. All this hemorrhaging of jobs, the dropping of our wages, this movement toward the Pan-American Union, it's all come from the same source. It's all these big multinational corporations that are rigging not just our economy here, but in fact the whole world economy, to fatten their wallets, to massively increase their profits by sucking everyone's wealth out of their pockets and dumping it into theirs. And so, you know, this movement that Josh has been a part of and that we all need to become a part of is protesting this kind of stuff. Because if you don't stand up against it to expose it and to stop it, you're not going to have an economy left to protect. It's going to be completely decimated. In fact, by 3 years from today, if things go according to plan. And unfortunately, so far, everything indicates that's going to be the case. We won't have a country anymore. The Pan-American Union is going to kick in, and that's the end. That's it. That's the end of your government, your constitution, your economy. And did you have a site, Josh, that you...
Yeah, I mean, you can stay tuned to what's going on in my world. The revolution will be televised. It's www.joshwolf.net. That's joshwolf.net. And that's my video blog. I've got a couple other projects that'll be branching off from there and lots of stuff coming up.
Awesome. Yeah, you mentioned 9/11, so obviously that's something you're aware of as well, huh? The big fiasco behind it.
Right. It's hard not to be aware that this whole thing happened and the government's explanation just doesn't add up. Now, as for what really happened, I'm still a skeptic on both sides at this point in time, to be honest.
Right. Well, you know, I have my opinion on that as well. But, you know, the bottom line is it doesn't matter. As long as you recognize the official story is bunk. And it is. No matter how you look at it, it doesn't add up. It doesn't stand up to close scrutiny. One thing is very obvious. They wanted it to happen. Whether they did it or let it happen doesn't matter. They wanted it to happen. They said so in their own documents that preceded 9/11 so they could exploit it and go and engage in little war-waging fun, not to mention taking away our constitutional rights and freedoms, which is all they've done since 9/11. Every single law that they passed, pretty much, has been designed to do that, to whittle away our rights. I mean, essentially, we don't have any more rights.
Right. I mean, it was another Reichstag, whether it was planned by the government or just exploited by the government. The government has used this opportunity to further their agenda, and their agenda is not your agenda. It's not to benefit the public. It's to destroy our liberties, our right to dissent, and our right to build the society we want to live in.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to thank you again, Josh, for coming on. You know, maybe we'll have you on again sometime to keep us up to date and some more of your activities.
Sounds great. Love to be here.
Okay, take care, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep fighting for the truth.
True, gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around